Lots happening, including, I'm glad to say, Unknown Pleasures, which is a regular screening of Australian films that don't often get seen. And I have on the line Bill Masoulas, a semi-regular on Movie Metropolis, to talk about the screening coming up of Boundless, Mark LaRose's film. Bill, welcome again to Movie Metropolis.
Thank you, Peter, for having me once again.
Always great to talk to you. And now, this is such an interesting film. And tell me about choosing Boundless, which I know not many people would have seen, and the work that Mark LaRosa does with his films.
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting choice. It's almost like a necessary choice, because what you said about Unknown Pleasures, you know, screening films that don't get seen much. This one, in fact, it's its first screening anywhere. It was made just a few years ago in 2018, and Mark LaRosa is like an independent filmmaker in Melbourne who's, he's well known within the scene, because he's been making films since the mid-80s, you know, firstly on Super 8, along with me, and that's where I met him, and then later on 16mm and digital, and he's made a number of sort of narrative films that are 30, 40, 50 minutes long, and this one is his first feature film, and a short feature at 70 minutes. But yeah, he made it a couple of years ago, finished it, and has tried to get screenings for it, but hasn't had any luck, including being rejected by MIF, of course, which is like a stuck-in-the-groove broken record that I say sometimes about a lot of films.
Yep.
And so, really, in effect, it's like the world premiere, but we're not really trumpeting it as such. And it's, Mark's a fascinating filmmaker because he makes films that are a little bit unusual, a little bit experimental, and this film, as a narrative, I believe actually is quite experimental, even though Mark himself doesn't see it that way. What can I say? It's like, I mean, the narrative is very simple. It's just a young couple who like to go exploring in the Australian outback, and they kind of get lost. But the narrative then complicates itself by showing them being rescued, or are they rescued? So we see kind of parallel scenes in a way of them being rescued and them not being rescued. And so it's like an amazing experiment where that actually is not resolved in the end as well. I'd actually like your take on it, Peter, because I know you've seen the film.
Yes, I found it quite fascinating, because I immediately thought this is a mystery within a mystery about this couple who presumably get lost in the outback and then see themselves, or do they, and have various encounters which may or may not be occurring. So I like that sort of notion of is what we're seeing real, or is it fantasy, or is it something else? And the whole idea of hallucinations about what is really happening on screen is very cleverly done in terms of the dissolves that Mark uses in his film, and the whole notion of a parallel universe which might be existing in terms of the storyline. It's one of those films that defies a clear analysis, although I'm sure Jake Wilson will have a go when he hosts a screening on Tuesday night, which we'll get back to shortly.
Yeah.
But it's one of those films that is, it really entices you to reflect on what is reality and what is fantasy. And I think he does it very well. It's very clever. And I can imagine he shot it out, is it in WA or Northern Territory, or perhaps even Broken Hill? Do you know the location? I didn't see it on the credits.
You're spot on with the last one. I think it's near Broken Hill somewhere.
Broken Hill, right. Okay, and he really shoots it so well. It looks great, and it looks like it was shot in widescreen.
It is widescreen, and look, for a film without a budget, you know, just he just used his own money, it actually looks absolutely beautiful and sounds great. He's got a very layered, subtle soundtrack to it as well.
Yes.
And it's really quite an achievement. And touching on one thing that you said about hallucinations, it's it almost like connects with something like Aboriginal dream time,
right,
you know, in a way. And that's not made explicit in the film, but the film becomes very metaphysical and very cosmic in the way it kind of looks at everything. So it's just really interesting film.
It is. It is. No, I was really quite fascinated by it. And he certainly puts his two actors through a bit of difficult circumstances at times.
he does, and I think they perform really well, because there's all kinds of cliches you can use here, but they both seem to be very natural. I think especially the female actress, I can't pronounce her name, but you know, she's just got something that's really genuine and just unselfconscious, which is really good to see on the Australian screen, because Australians can be very self-conscious, and I think that can be reflected in the acting in a lot of films as well.
Yes. Yes. It's interesting, when I was watching the film, one film struck me as being somewhat reminiscent of what Mark has done, especially in terms of a couple, in terms of sort of an environment that may be not very pleasant or unforgiving, or may have something else attached to it. And I was thinking of Zabriskie Point, the Antonioni film.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, it's got that kind of feel, of course. Antonioni has all kinds of things going on in that film.
Yeah.
I think that, for me, I remember Gus Van Sant made that film, Jerry, which is very, very similar in its narrative and style of it too, because I can't remember that film too well, but I think even that one had sort of like alternate parallel realities a little bit to it, and that kind of thing, yeah. And of course, there's some similarities with Walkabout as well.
Sure.
It's a classic Australian film.
Mm. Yep, oh, absolutely. Although no Aboriginal characters actually appear in the film.
Yes.
In Mark's film, that is. Yeah, yeah. No, I found that interesting. Jerry's an interesting one. I do remember, I think Casey Affleck was in that, and it certainly
and
had
Matt,
that.
Matt Damon, maybe?
And Matt Damon, yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been a while since I've seen it. It's hard to remember. Look, it's terrific that you're screening this film, and it's interesting how you and Chris are curating these films so that, as we've already said, films that are rarely seen, that deserve to be seen, and Australian focus, of course, is given to an audience. And what's even better is that you're screening it at the Thornbury Picture House.
Yeah. So far, this is our second screening there. And, you know, touch wood, it's going well so far. 2 months ago in February, we still had a bit of a COVID situation.
Mm.
So it was only 50% full of cinema and with masks. And this time we've got the 100%, although I'm keeping an eye on that case that's in Melbourne at the moment. In case there's a sudden breakout of a couple of cases in the next couple of days, and then we'll be stuffed. But
God, no.
But yeah, so far we're really encouraged that you know, being at the Thornbury Picture House, away from long play, the more kind of grungy, smaller venue at the back of the bar in North Fitzroy. And in fact, we've practically sold out for this screening. There's only a few seats left at the moment, if anyone wants to get in pretty quick.
Absolutely. What's the best way of booking? Do they go to Thornbury Picture House, or do they go to to yours, Innocence, or what's the best?
You basically go to the source, to the website of the venue, and they've got their booking system, so you have to purchase the ticket online, sort of thing. Yeah.
Terrific. So that's at 8:30 on Tuesday at the Thornbury Picture House, and Jake Wilson will then be talking with Mark and yourself, I'm sure, about Boundless. So that will be a very interesting evening, and it's always great to premiere something or to show a film that hardly anyone has seen, because it
It is. It's really fantastic. Yeah. I mean, with contemporary features, we try and do it. Chris and I try and do it through the other programming we've got called the Australian New Wave, which about 18 months ago. We used the Thornbury Picture House for three screenings there, and it's mainly of younger filmmakers. Mark isn't quite a younger one at the moment, so but we're very pleased to present this film appears in this kind of programming strand, Unknown Pleasures. So and we're looking at we've got a whole bunch of great things for the rest of the year, including some like historical films from the past, which we believe should get an airing.
Can you mention some of them? I mean, we'll talk again, obviously, but
Well, it looks like next month, not absolutely confirmed yet, but we should have one film probably by John Ruane, which is his first film, Queensland, which stars John Flowers in one of his very early roles.
Yes.
And so we hope to have both Johns there, Flouse and Ruane, to a Q&A.
Oh, wonderful.
But that's not confirmed at the moment.
Sure.
Other things later in the year, there's a filmmaker called Ivan Gall.
Yep.
G-A-A-L, who's like worked in the educational sphere
quite
a bit.
Yes, I know him. Yep.
You know him,
yes.
Yeah. We're going to do a special on him, like a retrospective of his whole career in a way, by showing some of his short films.
Great.
What else? We'll be doing Anna Canava, her film called Dreams for Life from the early 2000s, 2004, I think it is. And then we've got a couple of Sydney guests coming, so we're going to be going monthly, and hopefully the COVID will behave. So.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We don't want any more outbreaks and lockdowns or anything like that. So, absolutely. Well, we'll talk each month, obviously, before each screening on Win FM. So, terrific. All right. Well, that's great stuff, Bill. And are you involved with anything else at the moment in terms of any other curating anything else or working on any other films for yourself or whatever?
Yeah. Look, I'm working on a film of my own, my next feature. But my previous two features were shot in Greece, but this one, will be shot in Australia, in Adelaide, which is where I live.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of writing the script at the moment, and that's going really well. Chris, my co-curator, Chris Lewsbury, he's always working on things, and I won't mention one particular thing which is quite ambitious that he's working on. But he actually, that's like his own film, but he actually produces a few like people from short filmmakers at the moment,
right?
Jordan Justy and Alison Chong and. And he's also one of the main producers for Amiel Corden Wilson. So hopefully we'll be seeing Amiel's most recent feature this year at MIFF, perhaps. I'm not sure, actually. It was going to be programmed in MIFF last year, in 2020, but then the the big lockdown came.
So
Chris is a really amazing fellow who is able to be a producer, a director, a curator, a researcher. He's quite an extraordinary talent for Australian independent film. So I wasn't planning to give him a plug like that, but that's who he is, yeah.
Well, can I say for both of you, you've done so much to promote independent Australian cinema and to make sure that Australian filmmakers get seen and get a Guernsey, I suppose, in cinemas, which they wouldn't necessarily be able to do any other way. So So yes. Congratulations to both you and Chris for doing all that.
Thanks, Peter. And it's especially if ones who are a bit more marginal or underappreciated. That's our brief, really.
Absolutely. That's terrific. So just on another note, Bill, before I let you go, Monday, of course, are the Oscars, and I'll be talking about them a bit more later in the show. But out of the 8 films that are nominated for, which I presume you've seen, maybe not.
Probably not.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Do you have any particular favourite?
I tell you what, I have seen Nomadland.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed it. But then again, it's just a certain kind of art film and mixed with reality that I'm kind of familiar with from other directors as well. But
yep.
I really did enjoy that. I'm not sure if I don't follow the mainstream
and
the Oscars and things, so I can't really comment on anything else. I think what are some of the other ones?
Well, the 8 films nominated for Best Motion Picture this year are Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, which I really enjoyed, The Father, which is great performance by Anthony Hopkins, and The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Okay, I haven't seen any of them. Right. Nomadland. I'm a real philistine when it comes to commercial cinema. You know?
That's okay. No, not a problem at all. And we are getting some good Australian films releasing as well, which is great to see. I know there's a film shot in Queensland, which I interviewed the director for, which I'll try and squeeze into the show today, a film called This Little Love of Mine, which is a nice little romantic comedy, which is worth seeing, but has commercial production behind it, Steve Jaggi Productions, who you're probably familiar with. There's a nice little film about to be released with Noni Hazelhurst called June Again. I think that's the title.
Okay.
Which is a nice film about dementia and
I've heard of this one. Yes.
Yeah. It's a nice little film. So it's nice to see Australian cinema sort of bubbling under and getting releases and so on. So anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and it's that kind of mid-tier of kind of independent films, but also some of the commercial ones. Look, it is good if even they get more exposure and audiences go to them, because there can be a trickle down effect for the more alternative independent films made. So let's see
what happens. All right, Bill, great talking to you. Boundless, screening Tuesday night at 8:30 at the Thornbury Picture House, part of the Unknown Pleasures. And Bill Masoulas, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Peter. Yep.
Okay, great talking to Bill. And now that I've seen the film, I certainly recommend it. If there's still a few tickets left, so if you go to the thornburypicturehouse.com, then you'll be able to book a seat. I think they only have about 57 seats at the Thornbury Picture House. So, and they show some really good films as well as some other commercial films and other films that are not that well known at the Thornbury Picture House. So, highly recommended.